Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Business Update Conference Call with Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Mitra from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mitra.
Yeah, thanks, operator, and good afternoon to all the participants, and thanks for joining in. We have with us today Vice Admiral Narayan Prasad, Indian Navy, retired Chairman and Managing Director of Mazagon Dock, and Mr. Sanjeev Singhal, Director of Finance of Mazagon Dock, to discuss business and give you key updates on the same. Without further ado, I hand it over to CMD for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Very vibrant good afternoon to all of you. It's indeed a matter of great honor, pride and privilege for me to welcome you all to present the credentials of Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Limited. As you are aware, Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Limited is the oldest shipyard in India, with inception in 1774. Incorporation in 1934 and taken over by the Government of India in 1960. MDL is the only shipyard in India to have built destroyers and two different types of submarines for the Indian Navy, and is also one of the unique shipyards in the world with such diverse range of products. From the time it was taken over by the Government of India in 1960, MDL has built around 796 vessels, including 25 warships and 5 submarines. The first warship built by MDL dates back to 1972 INS Nilgiri, and the first submarine in 1992, which demonstrates our resolve towards Atmanirbhar Bharat and Make in India initiatives since that time. MDL recent deliveries are the 3 number Project 15 Alpha destroyers, and they are called in Indian Navy as INS Kolkata, Kochi and Chennai, and they were all delivered in 14, 15 and 16. Besides, we have also delivered 3 Scorpion class submarines, last being March this year. MDL has completed modernization and upgradation of its complete infrastructure and facilities to world-class standards, with virtual reality lab, product data management, product lifecycle management, modular integrated construction, which enables us the capability and capacity to construct and repair 10 capital warships and 11 submarines simultaneously. MDL presently has a robust order book of roughly around 48,600 crores, which comprises essentially of construction of 40 number Project 15 Bravo destroyer, 40 number Project 17 Alpha stealth frigates, and 60 number Scorpion submarines, 3 of which has already been delivered, and the 4th one is slated to be delivered end of this year. Besides, medium refit and life certification of a submarine is also planned. We have a very strong future outlook as per maritime capability perspective plan for Indian Navy and the Coast Guard, which essentially comprises of, we have already submitted bids for about 500 crores for 80 number fast patrol vessels. Besides, in the midterm range, we have a likelihood of bid submission for almost about 35,000 crores, which essentially comprises of 11 in number next generation offshore patrol vessel, where we are submitting the bids by end of this month, which is 28th of August. It is pegged at about 10,000 crores. And others are 7 next generation corvettes, some high speed landing craft and other vessels. While the response to RFE, as I maintained, amounting to rupees 500 crores have already been submitted, RFPs and bids for rest of the 35,000 crores are expected in horizon of next 2 to 3 years. MDL has a plan for diversification of revenue stream into export, and I am glad to report that on the export front, bids for worth RFP worth about 6,000 crores are being pursued, which essentially comprises of offshore patrol vessels for Argentinian Coast Guard, floating dry dock for Suez Canal authorities, and corvettes for Philippines Navy. Certain big ticket items which we are looking for, which is making a big news, is one, MDL being the only shipbuilder to have built conventional submarines are a very, very strong contender for building 6 in number P-75I conventional submarines with air independent propulsion system, which is estimated at about 43,000 crores. And also, we are bidding in the next about 5 years for construction of 6 in number next generation destroyer, which is estimated at 50,000 crores. So with this, I would request my Director of Finance to give you some introductory performance of the financial figure, and then we'll entertain the question.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you, CMD sir. CMD sir has already given you the entire brief of Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Limited right from inception till the position as of today. The financial results for Q1 have already been declared, and I am sure the investors must have seen it. In spite of COVID, the performance for Q1 has been fairly encouraging, and we believe we have been able to come out of the COVID shadow, although the production was impacted for a couple of days, including the non-availability of oxygen, industrial oxygen, which also had an impact on the production. Moving ahead, we look forward for the any clarifications which the investors community seeks. So we can just open the question answer session. Over to you, Abhijit.
Yeah, sure. Operator, over to the Q&A, please.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Bhagesh from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
So can you explain us the P-75I status of the submarine project? Those press reports keep on appearing in media reports.
Can you be a bit loud, please?
Yeah. Can you explain us what is happening on the P-75I front? Those press reports sometimes say one country is not keen to participate in the tender at this price, etc. So what is the ongoing situation, and when will the final order come?
Okay, I'll take this question. As we are aware, the RFP for construction of 6 in number P-75I conventional submarines fitted with AIP was taken out on 20th of last month, and the bid submission date is about 9th of November 21, and there's a pre-bid meeting on 21st of September 21. It's a very large value project, but with a very small timeline for submission of bid, which is just about 3 months and 19 days. So we are all together bracing up to organize ourselves and submit the bids in time. But as you are aware, there are some telltale signs which are coming that, as you are aware, there are 5 OEMs who are supposed to be collaborating in the construction of the submarine, and they essentially 3 are European OEM, 1 is a Russian one, 1 is a South Korean one. DSME South Korea, Rubin or the ROE is from Russia, and you have Nevantia Spain, TKMS Germany, and Naval Group France. As we understand, the RFP necessitates that the nation should already have, or the company should already have, a technology to transfer. But before that, they should have a submarine which is fitted with this particular system or under fitment. And by the time we have about April or May of 2022, they should be able to demonstrate this product to the visiting field evaluation team of the Indian Navy and the shipyard and the Ministry of Defense. Now that is where certain amount of issues are coming, that some of them are at the mid-stage of development of this air independent propulsion technology. So as we understand, based on the preliminary inputs which are available, so they have also not come very, I would say, neat and clean as to what is the status of their technology. We are all waiting for a favorable answer, that they should all respond, and accordingly we will take this particular call as to how do we align with which OEM, and we will try and submit our bids in time.
Okay, thanks for.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umesh Raut from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations for the good operating performance in first quarter. Sir, carrying on to previous questions, basically sir, we are already developing one submarine project and we have already delivered some of the few submarines out of that project to the Indian Navy. So that was also a transfer of technology basis with DCNS, Naval Group of France. So in addition to that particular project, what kind of new technology you are pursuing with the help of new collaboration with foreign OEM?
Okay, the Scorpion submarines, which are presently under construction in collaboration with the Naval Group France right now, they are conventional submarines. And what is being sought under the new program, which is called P-75I, that is P-75 India, is they should have additionally two different elements. One, they should have an air independent propulsion system. This means conventional systems of submarine propulsion. In addition to that, there's additional plug of about 7 meters or 8 meters which gets attached with the hull, which gives you additional submerged endurance. And as you are aware, the longest duration that the submarine is submerged, that is the kind of I would say deterrent it is able to create. So we have all the nations of the world who operate their navies, they all are trying to find out a solution for this particular thing. So either you have the conventional submarines which are largely run on batteries and batteries have to be charged, or else you go for a nuclear propulsion submarine which has got its own initial cost implication and a difficult technology to obtain. So in between you have this air independent propulsion system, largely fuel cell based, which can give you additional I would say submerged endurance. So you can remain dived in the water before surfacing to charge your batteries for a far longer duration. And that is what we are looking for. In addition, they also have a conventional lead acid batteries which are fitted in the submarine, which get charged, and these batteries in turn run the motor, propulsion motor, for main propulsion. Now these batteries, more higher scaled batteries with good density of power, is a lithium ion battery which is being talked about, and we want induction of both this technology in the Project 75i, and that is how it is different than the Scorpion submarine that we are building. In the whole bargain, its displacement, its length and the diameter all undergo certain amount of change.
Got it, sir. Sir, if I recall correctly from some of the media news, so DRDO is also kind of developing this particular technology with some of the domestic players like Thermax. So would that be a similar technology or that is a different version?
The one which is under development in the DRDO, which is NMRL Ambernath, it's again a fuel cell based technology. and what is being talked about as a contemporary technology all over the world is fuel cell based air independent propulsion system. And there are a lot of countries who are into this particular thing, and there's very few number of companies who have made a foray into this one. Now, as what we understand from the media, I am also talking about from the media itself, that the land version trial through the DRDO route has been a success story, and they now will try to get into a more marinized and ruggedized version trial and productionization, which will have a definite amount of time in which it will get developed.
Okay. Got it, sir. Sir, second question is related to the export. You have mentioned in your opening remark that you are bidding for one of the major projects in Argentina. So basically wanted to know who would be the prospective competitors for us in those markets or in those kind of projects, and how should we look at the profitability considering that those projects are on the competitive bidding?
As you are aware, the environment in shipbuilding is far, far more conducive to countries like South Korea, Japan and China, because they've got a huge amount of government subsidy, both power subsidy, land subsidy, and they've got a huge backup from the government on financing. And should an LD clause for delays or cancellation of order, there are a lot of backing elements which are available out there. So these kinds of things are just about being thought about in the national maritime vision to support the shipbuilding yards out here. So these three countries that we are targeting right now, one is a floating dry dock for Suez Canal, roughly at about 600 to 700 crores, which is going to operate in the Suez Canal. There's a Bulgarian company who needs this particular thing, and they want to get it built through the MDL. Now, while there could be, they find that the MDL work culture and the price is also quite competitive. Similarly, at the Argentinian Coast Guard, they can also get lots of offers from the European shipbuilders. But suffice is to discuss with you that when it comes to pricing, we have some input as to when a similar kind of a vessel gets built in US through their own shipyard, how much it costs, and a similar kind of a thing when it gets built in India, what would be the costing? You would be surprised to find out that, and I have worked on one particular project in a, I would say, obtuse manner, that a vessel of offshore patrol vessel of a similar kind of an equipment fit and a weapon fit and the length, dimensions and everything almost cost 2.5 to 3 times the Indian cost to build in those countries. So we find that it's a very, very favorable situation. But comes to, I would say, China, they would do it even better than us. And we are trying to brace ourselves to see how we can compete with them.
Okay. Sir,
well, I would slightly supplement it, ki as far as the export market is concerned, for although MDL was in exports in a significant manner a couple of years back, but since our order books were full with the naval orders, we have not tapped the export market for quite some time. So right now the predominant thinking and the factor which is most important is to re-establish our presence in the export market and to roll out some products whereby MDL name is visible, yes, MDL is into exports. So the primary consideration that would be guiding us right now would not be the profits, but would be to establish a presence in the export market.
Okay, sir. Sir,
and you also must be aware, I didn't talk about this in my opening address, that since the takeover by the government of India in 1960, we are talking about, we have built about roughly about 796 vessels. Now, out of these, there are 631 commercial vessels, which essentially comprise of cargo ships, supply vessels, water tankers, tugs, dredgers, fishing trawlers, and besides other things is in offshore platforms, process platforms, jack-up rigs. And you would be very glad to hear that out of these 631, 243 vessels were exported to Mexico, France, UK, Iran, Yemen and Mozambique. and our last exports have been 2014, 15 and 16 of two multi-purpose support vessels to Mexico.
Got it, sir. That was very much helpful. Sir, my last question is on execution. So basically we have faced some lockdown issues or supply chain issues in first quarter. So just wanted to know from you, how are the operational updates right now? And if there are no further disruptions coming in from the pandemic, then what kind of execution we should look at for FY22 full year?
As far as the operations are concerned, operations are near normal. But as with respect to the turnover, we would peg it somewhere close to the figures achieved in 2019-20. That would be on account of the various stages of the ships. Like with respect to submarines, we are almost operating at 90% plus right now, the completion. So very little job remains to be done, which is to be accomplished. So progress and financial booking, revenue booking is going to be considerably on the lower side. With respect to Project 17 Alpha also, it is in the comparatively initial stages. So considering the S-curve, the revenue booking is not going to be significantly high during the current year. 15 Bravo, of course, would be on a consistent basis. So we are looking at figures close to 19-20. Going ahead, with 17 Alpha picking up the rising slope of the S-curve, going ahead next year onwards, we expect the revenues to pick up in a decent manner.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Venkatesh Subramanian from Logic to Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. I have two questions, sir. Again, on the execution part, if FY22 sails smoothly, sir, could you give us an idea what kind of execution we could expect for the next 2 to 3 years? That's number one. And second question is, do we also look at Goa Shipyard as a part, since we accrue some earnings from that, is there any update that you can give us from that?
With respect to the first question, I replied we have a pending order book of 48,619 crores approximately right now, which we intend to execute by 26-27. Maybe in case of Project 17 Alpha, there could be a shift of by 6 months to 12 months towards the right. So considering this, we definitely see the revenues rising in a considerable manner from 22-23 onwards, which we had indicated earlier also in our con call.
All right, sir.
And with respect to GSL, we continue to maintain the stand, although MDL has a stake of 47.21%, but we do not have any management control or board representation on GSL board.
Okay.
Fine. It is only the for consolidation purposes, their net worth and profit is taken into consideration. But as far as the day-to-day working is concerned, GSL has an independent board, independent management. So they are, we understand they are operating good.
Understood, sir. Quick question, sir. What is our cash reserves as on date, sir? Our own cash, I mean, not the advances.
It's approximately 1,100.
1,100 crores. Own cash.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Kala Kasa India. Please go ahead.
Sir, very good afternoon and sir, many congratulations for good numbers. Sir, now, sir, we all know that, sir, orders are not a concern for our company because last year's revenue, our order book is 12 times our last year revenue. The real question is that what is the constraint in really picking up the execution rate? Sir, so is it that we don't have enough capacity or is it that the fund disbursal from the government or from the Indian Navy is a concern? Or is there some technical issue regarding some parts, etc.? So which of these is stopping us from really accelerating our execution rate?
I'll take your question in two parts. One is how does a ship and a submarine get constructed? So it's a first thing, it's not a process or a batch industry that you have a big order, and if you have more number of manpower, you can accelerate the production. So that is not the kind of a storyline out here. Every ship has, by and large, a construction period of about, I would say, 6 to 8 years if the entire elements of the design and the equipment's availability, all this is frozen. Now, when we build the ships out here in Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Limited, or for that matter, in any of the shipyards, you have a design in your mind. There is no parallel product which is already available. Ki mujhe aisa chahiye. So when, as you start building about the whole thing, there are a lot of things which changes. And in addition, the Ministry of Defense and the Indian Navy want state-of-the-art technology. So in this duration of 5 to 6 years, there are a lot of equipment changes also which are brought in, which is contemporary in nature. Now, when we conclude the contracts, lots of, I would say, non-concrete elements also which are there, which is very much part of the contract. Shipbuilding follows, as what Director of Finance has just now maintained, it follows an S-curve. This means if you look at the different parts of the so-called S for Sira, then initial leg portion is all flat. This means you have just been consolidating the design. There is no add-on on the VOP, value of production. And suddenly you will find that once the entire thing is done and the keel laying has happened, there's a large amount of fabrication starts happening. And over a very short period of time, the value addition, which happens on board ship, it moves not linearly, but exponentially. After a certain point of time, when the equipment starts getting installed, this means after loading on board, this is already called as value of production. After being loaded on board, now they start getting installed, and the system installation starts getting completed. Now this is starts become again flat. So this means the time is progressing, but the value of production is not increasing because you're not taking anything in. And once again, after that which has happened, then you go through another phase of loading some more equipment, which is the weapon, sensors which come much later, after the stabilized power supply and also the air conditioning plants are activated. Again, there is a huge spurt in the value of production add-on. This is the other arm of the S. And after that, again, you have a flat portion when the trials and everything commences, because you are only carrying out trials of those along with the Indian Navy. There are some weapon firing and you are going for almost some 10 to 12 different sorties for machinery trials. So there is no value of addition on, but they are all part of the shipbuilding and acceptance procedure. Now, this is how the whole thing varies. So that is exactly what we are trying to drive home, that whilst we have all the funds which are available and we have the complete infrastructure facilities to concurrently build 10 submarines and 11 ships together, we find that it will go into a particular curve of what we are telling. As what we are maintaining right now, we are building 4 in number destroyers of Project 15 Bravo and 4 in number stealth frigates of 17 Alpha, and besides that, 3 more submarines. We have all the capacities and the capabilities, but they will have therein at different parts of the curve. And manpower infusion on board a ship, you can't put, if the 100 people are required in a submarine, you can't put 400 people to accelerate the work. It does not happen that way, which happens in a batch industry. So that is what is the point which is there.
So basically what we understood that, sir, there is no problem about funding the, and we are operating at full capacity, sir. Are we manufacturing right now 10 submarines and 11 ships simultaneously, or is there some gap?
Right now, as what we have maintained, while the capacity is 10 ships and 11 submarines, out of 10 ships, we have got 8 ships in hand. That is the brand new construction of 8 capital warships. Besides, we have got couple of small ships for repair, which is also a new vertical. And out of the total capacity of submarine for building, we have right now, out of 6, 3 we have delivered, and 3 are at different stages of further building up construction, because they all are already about 80% construction and onwards. Now, there is nothing very great add-on which are required, but largely they are through the trial stages. And these trial stages are very time consuming, because you need a French specialist to come here, lot of consorts to be provided by the Indian Navy, and more important is the conducive environment. This means seas are very cool and calm. In the entire bargain, you will find that in the monsoon season of about 4 to 5 months, we just cannot sail our submarines, even an operational submarine or a submarine under construction. So they are washed out months from, I would say, mid of May till whole thing recedes in September. So we have to, at the end of the year, today, this year we have to deliver the fourth Scorpion submarine. We have just sailed her out of Mazagon Dock Shipbuilders Limited to the Indian Navy, and they will slowly start sailing for the eventual delivery in December or January.
So basically what I understood that we still have some capacity which is vacant for ships as well as for submarines.
Yes.
These are the facilities. You should appreciate that as far as shipyard is concerned, shipyard is an infrastructure facility where such kind of surpluses will always be available. And when we say one minor correction, probably CMD sahab, while replying to your query in flow, mentioned we have a capacity of 11 ships. It is vice versa. We have the capacity of 10 ships and 11 submarines. So this is the correction. And when we have this capacity, definitely that is in the most ideal situation where these vessels have to be at different stages of production. It is not that I can at a time accept orders for 11 submarines and 10 ships. These have to be at various stages of production. That would be the most ideal position. But any infrastructure industry would be having capacities which are far in excess of the normal requirements. So that is the case with us also. So it is not that the yard is lying vacant. It is not that the yard cannot take anything more. Certain facilities with respect to deployment of manpower, that remains flexible. We can always enhance it as per the requirement. So whatever is the current order book, the manpower is commensurate to that.
Sure, sure. And sir, I wanted to understand, so that since MDL is the only manufacturer of submarines in India, so is it that all the existing fleet of Indian Navy of submarine has to come to MDL only for servicing, or it can go to Kochi shipyard also?
Okay, when it comes to maintenance, as you are aware, the Indian Navy presently deploys a submarine from three different sources. One is a Russian origin, the other one is a German origin, and again in joint collaboration with the MDL, which was built in 1990s and is still operating. And the third one is the new generation submarine that we are building right now, three of which has been already commissioned. So by and large, it is a common understanding that because of the infrastructure facilities which are available, those submarines which have been built by MDL would come to MDL itself, because the Navy is still not fully geared up to undertake these refits. But those which have been acquired from the Russian Federation, so there, both the shipyards, both the naval dockyards, which is manned by Indian Navy, that is one at Mumbai and the other one at Vizag, they are undertaking their normal refits and also their life certification. In addition to these naval dockyards manned by the Navy, Hindustan Shipyard Limited at Vishakhapatnam has also been equipped with the art of all the facilities and all, where they can undertake repairs and life certification of Russian origin submarines. But the other two submarines which are there would by and large come to MDL only.
Okay, sir, that's great to know. And sir, also wanted to understand, sir, that in the RHP it's mentioned that some of our existing plots, sir, the lease of that has expired. And sir, so we have asked Mumbai Port Trust to renew the lease, sir. So what is the status of that? And sir, is there a possibility of a big outflow of cash for renewal of those leases of real estate?
I would take that question. As far as MDL is concerned, we have around 42% of our land is leased land from Mumbai Port Trust. Balance, small portion is on freehold basis, and balance through Maharashtra government. Now, out of this 42%, which is divided into 13 plots, the lease with respect to 4 plots expired in 2006. And since then, we have been requesting MBPT for renewal. Although we continue to occupy and continue to make payment of the rent as per the agreement, on account of non-finalization of the land lease policy, so MBPT was not in a position to raise their demand. Recently, a couple of years back, they have come up with a land lease policy and raised a demand on MDL, which is also reflected in our accounts, of 312 crores corresponding to 4 plots, which has been strongly disputed by MDL as being exorbitant. So whatever formulas they have applied, they are no way considered to be fair and equitable by MDL. And right now the matter is under discussion at the ministry level between Department of Defense Production and Ministry of Shipping, Port and Waterways. We have been assured that this is being looked into favorably, and the land lease policy of MBPT is being revised, taking the PSUs into consideration. So we are also awaiting the results, but we expect that this would be a fair and equitable policy, quite favorable to MDL.
Okay, sir. And sir, best of luck and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jonas Bhuta from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. So when you spoke about the 35,000 crore kind of opportunity pipeline that you have over the next 2 to 3 years, you mentioned 11 next-gen OPVs, which is about 10,000 crores. So if you can give us the breakup for the balance two, which is the next-gen Corvette and the high-speed landing craft, is that which then adds up to about 35,000 crores, sir?
Okay. The first in line towards this medium-term projects which are there, so this next-generation offshore patrol vessels is roughly at about 10,000 crores, and for which bid submission is almost by 28th of this month, and we are very much participating into this one. The next is 7 in number next generation Corvettes. Now they would be roughly priced at about 23,000 crores. So this totally makes about 33,000 crores. And I talked about total value of 35. So in the rest, 2,000 crores, 6 in number high speed landing crafts, 1 polar research vessels, 1 survey training vessels, 1 acoustic research ship for NQL Kochi. All those things are likely to be accommodated.
Got it. Sir, also wanted to understand, you know, just recently the RFI for landing platform docks, LPDs, was floated. You know, whether, again, will that fit in the timeline of this 2 to 3 years that you have for a midterm target, or that is a project that will sort of slip into beyond 3 years in terms of award timeline, and whether MDL will be participating in that if that project were to go ahead?
Yeah, this LPDs, landing platform dock, we have right now one with the Navy, acquired from the US. This vessel is about 200 to 205 meters and also wants to use either the conventional propulsion system or the electric propulsion system, which is a new technology. Now, what has come out right now is an old project which was shelved and has been reactivated. This was very much into the news in 2014, and we almost had Mrs. L&T as a resultant single tender vendor, single vendor. MDL, with its current position and the infrastructure facility, are outstretching ourselves to try and accommodate this particular vessels, and we are participating as of now with this. And as and when the RFP comes, right now it is all at the RFI stage. Shipyards are being evaluated for their capacity and capability for undertaking this particular project, and we are participating into this.
So the tentative cost remains the same, sir, at about 16,000 crores for the four.
I won't be able to talk about the price right now for the simple reason that erstwhile, the Defense Acquisition Council, we needed actually 4 in number LPDs. And 2010 price was 4,000 crores each vessel. So it was an overall vessel of 16,000 crores. But I am sure with all the modifications, what is being talked about, and different kind of hangarage space for the aircraft, and a different kind of island structure which they are talking, the price would escalate. But a little more delving into deeper would give a little more insight. Because last time, this RFP was not extended to a couple of shipyards. In fact, Cochin Shipyard, who is making this the aircraft carrier, indigenous aircraft carrier, they were not extended this RFP, and MDL was also not extended this RFP. So we are getting into this one, and we will contend for it.
And lastly, sir, if I can get a breakup of the order book project-wise, the 48,619 crores is broken up between the three or four major projects. That will be
clear. As you are aware, when we started with the projects, that is Project 15 Bravo, which is four destroyer, 17 Alpha, which is four in number, they are stealth frigates, P-75 submarines, and medium refit life certification of one our submarine, its total value was about 84,532 crores. As we stand today, that is 31st of July, Project 15 Bravo is pegged at about 21,800 crores. Project 17 Alpha is at 21,295 crores. Project 75 at 5,279 crores. And MRLC of a submarine, about 245 crores, which totals to about 48,619 precisely.
Got it. This is helpful. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Abhijit Mitra. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just one question on one of the participants' previous. Like to see. So, of course, case will act as a reference. Should we take that? 6% inflation each year and 7% of the land value.
Abhijit, you are not audible. Can you come back again, please?
Yeah. So I was saying that regarding this finalization of the land license fee, should one look into Concord's decision, which is currently under finalization, which is essentially 7% of the land value and 6% as annual increment?
Look, it would be difficult to say because this is being looked at from a different prism altogether with respect to CPSCs, what can be a special dispensation. Like till now, we have been paying a yearly increase of 4% apart from the base rent itself. So what would be the basis of fixing the rates? That is not known. It is under active discussion between both the ministries at the highest possible level.
And
he also understands it's just not possible and would not be fair to settle the existing with the land which has been in our possession for the past more than 60 years and which needs to continue in our possession for all practical purposes. So we would not be able to speculate with respect to what basis are they going to adopt.
Okay. But that 300 plus crores of demand that they've put in, they've mentioned any rate which they've...
This is based on the market rate assessed by their experts.
The market rate of the land and what is the rate, lease rate on that they have applied?
I would not be knowing the detailed calculations right now.
Okay. No worries. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Umesh Rao from Dollar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sir, one bookkeeping question from my side. Last year we had some LD write back of around 160 odd crores.
Yeah.
So are we expecting some more write backs to be coming in the next couple of years?
This timing with respect to LD write back is difficult to predict right now. What we can say is ki yes, with respect to P-75, we have delivered three boats. And on first two boats, certain amount of LD has been levied, which is under active discussion and evaluation. But we would not be able to comment with respect to the timelines by what time it gets evaluated and crystallized. So it will always depend on that. Difficult to say whether it will be this year or next year or years ahead.
Okay. But sir, quantum, how much it will be? I mean,
it always depend on what delays are considered attributable to MDL. This is a very voluminous document where we also make our representations and the reasons are analyzed by a competent team. So until the things are crystallized, it would be premature to comment on it.
Okay, okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, we look forward for such interaction with the investors. This has been the philosophy of MDL of being transparent with all the investors who have bestowed their confidence in the working of MDL. Apart from the figures which are published, if any other ambiguities are there, if any other clarifications are there or with respect to the future business prospects, we always look forward for such kind of discussions. In fact, ICICI Securities has been actively involved along with the other similar agencies. So this has been a nice interaction. We also get certain useful inputs from all these interactions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.